This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Muhammad Ali won the heavyweight championship 3 times, but when he was at the top of boxing, Ali could not get major corporate endorsements. He was too controversial. The best he did was become a spokesman for Decon Roach Spray. Ali has signed a multi-million-dollar deal to endorse Coca-Cola, and there's a new movie about his life. In the second of 2 reports, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams talks with Ali about his trip across the deep waters of American culture that separate an outcast from an icon.
Muhammad Ali walks onto the legendary red carpet outside the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles. The reporters and paparazzi... normally a noisy, even rude group, are courteous and respectful.
Mr. Ali, right here, please.
Right here, sir.
When Ali is escorted into the dressing room area, the Hollywood stars immediately rush to say hello.
Rob Lowe, champ. Hello. It's good to see you. Good luck on your movie.
Ali can't even get into his dressing room. Soul singer R. Kelly is camped out there to make sure he gets a minute with the champ.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a lion.
As Ali enters the auditorium and people catch a glimpse of him, applause erupts and then grows and grows. Eventually, the entire audience is standing. Athletes are on their feet cheering. Baseball players Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson, runner Carl Lewis, and basketball star Magic Johnson. America's sports and entertainment stars are like hero-worshipping kids when Ali appears. The event is the annual Sports Illustrated Awards show. Ali has already been named Athlete of the Century by the magazine, but he's here to get yet another award. Comedian Jamie Foxx does the honors.
I mean, what can you say about this man that I'm about to talk about right now? Float like a butterfly and what? You're with me. It's my distinct honor and one of the highlights of my life, and I know it will be of yours. Get your hands going right now and give it up for the man, the champ,
Muhammad Ali!
Accolades like this are relatively new to Ali. In the 60s and the 70s, when he was in his prime as a fighter, Ali was unpopular with sports writers. He was unpopular with much of America for becoming a black Muslim and refusing to serve in Vietnam. He reveled in his status as an anti-establishment figure. But in the 60s, that made him a star for some young people. Here is boxing writer Mark Cram.
They had been raised on the cultural deviancy of Marlon Brando, the smirking of James Dean, and the unrest of Holden Caulfield. So he was their anti-hero.
Columnist Jack Newfield of The Nation magazine says Ali fit the tenor of the times.
I think he became the zeitgeist of the 60s, as much as the Beatles were or Dr. King. He caught the spirit of an entire decade, which I think was freedom, black pride, and do your own thing.
When Ali first entered popular culture as the heavyweight champ in 1964, he was the divisive, brash young man surrounded by the unsmiling faces of the Nation of Islam's bow-tied bodyguards. But now, Ali has no bodyguards. He doesn't want them, and he doesn't appear to need them. Howard Bingham is Ali's best friend.
I like watching him in the airports, just see faces, and they not believe, oh, that's Ali. Everybody starts running to the camera shop, getting the camera and stuff.
According to Bernie Uman, Ali's manager, Ali is so popular now because he literally put his career and his neck on the line for his stand against the Vietnam War.
We stripped him of his title, we stripped him of his ability to compete for 3.5 years. Ali set an example, you know, not so much about Vietnam and not so much about the draft, but about having the courage of your convictions.
And that is the heart of the Ali legend, his sacrifice. He lost the prime of his boxing career and the chance to make a lot of money. His commitment to the unpopular black Muslims is now seen as Ali's stand for religious freedom. Ali has transcended the wounds of a generation of Americans scarred by Vietnam, civil rights protest, and social upheaval in churches, schools, and at home. Although he's a central figure for the baby boom generation, Ali doesn't focus on that.
I didn't do it because I want them to mind me. All the people in America rose against me, I still have done it.
And Ali is frustrated that today's athletes so rarely take a stand for anything but a bigger contract. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, and Wayne Gretzky are pointedly apolitical. They all praise Ali, but few follow his example. Ali said in the interview that he has gone to several prominent professional athletes and asked them to become politically engaged. He says they haven't done much. But Ali's voice can still be heard. Most recently, he felt compelled, as a prominent Muslim, to publicly condemn the September 11th attacks.
Killing people and all this is not the way to spread the word of Islam.
Even as a new movie about Ali's life opens on Christmas Day and his prominence continues to grow, Parkinson's disease is taking a toll on him. The degenerative nerve condition slurs his speech and has the former athlete struggling to control tremors in his hands and legs. But even the Parkinson's may add to Ali's stature. He seems more human now.
This illness of Parkinson's syndrome struck him. It created more sympathy for him.
Here is author Mark Cram.
And then that moment when he lights the Olympic torch with his trembling hand in 96 kind of consolidate his iconization.
Ali's friend Howard Bingham remembers that very emotional moment in Atlanta.
We saw that flame that night and we cried. Everybody had the word cry.
Howard, you don't have to go far. I cried that night. I couldn't believe it. You know, I didn't know who it was going to be.
Right. I have a photograph of Bill Clinton and Ali about half an hour after lighting the cauldron. And he hugs Ali, kisses him, looks him eye to eye. Ali, they did not tell me who's going to light the cauldron. When I saw it was you, I cried.
Writer Mark Cram believes Madison Avenue also had a revelation when they saw the nation respond to the sight of Ali lighting the Olympic flame.
Suddenly it occurred to people that this guy was marketable even in the condition that he was in.
In 1999, he finally appeared on a box of Wheaties. Apple Computers featured him in their Think Different ads. He has done TV ads for Chevrolet. And Ford has made a sizable donation to help him build the Muhammad Ali Center in his hometown of Louisville. And Ali's marketing skill goes far beyond the United States. He's internationally known. In 1990, he orchestrated the release of 15 hostages held by Saddam Hussein before the Persian Gulf War. Since then, he has gone on goodwill missions to Libya, Cuba, and Syria. But at 60, these trips and all the new advertising deals are not easy. His ongoing battle with Parkinson's saps his energy, and some friends openly worry if this demanding schedule is proving to be too much for him to take.
I don't understand Parkinson's. I don't understand any of that. But I do understand this person.
Muhammad Ali's first wife and close friend, Sanji Glover.
I do not agree with him being presented. It reminds me of winding up something with a battery in it, and then when it wears down you. And I just don't, why do we have to see our heroes as they crumble? Why do we have to see them like that?
Ali said in an interview that he doesn't feel exploited. His wife Lonnie agrees.
If someone takes advantage of Muhammad, that's their problem, not his, because they have to deal with that. He doesn't.
And Ali said his popularity is not colored by pity. The former champ said that God is trying him. A man who is rich, who was once a champion, powerful and good-looking, now struggles to walk, to talk. Ali said some might lose faith in the face of such a challenge, but Ali said he is faithful and prays. Ali has been challenged before, in the ring, for his stand against the Vietnam War, for his choice of a religion, and even as to whether he can sell products to mainstream America. A lot of people have bet against Ali in the past and lost. Juan Williams, NPR News, Los Angeles.
The series on Muhammad Ali was produced by Tom Bullock. There's more of the interview with Ali on the website npr.org.